Is there anything in the Dead Sea Scrolls that proves our church is true? Also, I remember from high school, someone said the Dead Sea Scrolls had been suppressed and hidden because they proved the Catholic Church was false. Is that right? I remember someone else saying that it was wrong that they proved the Jewish faith was false. I'm not sure what's right about the Dead Sea Scrolls and how they're important. Anything you can tell me, I would appreciate. Eric. I'll leave off his last name. It's a great, great series of questions. Let's start out with this one, or with this answer to your questions. The first thing is the Dead Sea Scrolls do not disprove any faith. They don't disprove the LDS faith or Catholicism or the Jewish faith. By the same token, they don't prove any either. But I will say that there's a great deal in the Dead Sea Scrolls that supports the Jewish faith, that supports the Catholic faith, and also supports the LDS faith. We'll get to some details about that in a minute. Where did this idea that the Dead Sea Scrolls have been suppressed come from? Frankly, it's a byproduct of how long it has taken many of them to be published. And that had nothing to do with their being suppressed, and everything to do with the difficulties in actually translating them. The first scrolls were discovered in 1947. They created such a great excitement that people ran around to about 250 caves in the area and searched them to see if they could find other documents. And they did in 10 other caves. There are 11 total caves by the Dead Sea in which ancient documents stored there in great big huge stone jars, some of which are almost 6 feet tall, were found. These scrolls, in some cases, were very easy to translate. The Isaiah scroll was almost completely intact, for example, so it could simply be carefully unrolled and translated. Other caves were full of documents that were a bit more problematic. There were in Cave 4 alone thousands of little fragments from more than 382 manuscripts. There have been over 850 different fragments and complete documents found in all the caves. That is a lot of documents. And when some of them look like they went through a paper shredder twice, you can see why they are difficult to assemble into workable, translatable documents. Some were easy. They came out quickly. Some were very, very difficult and took until a short time ago to be published. And some have never been published at all because they're too fragmentary, and there would be no desire for the reading of them by the general public. So no conspiracy, just difficulty in translating them. So how were they acquired, and where are they now? They were originally found by a little Bedouin shepherd who had fallen asleep and lost his goats. He thought maybe they had wandered up towards some caves he saw, threw a rock up there, heard something shatter. What his rock had broken was the first to be found of these great big huge earthen jars in which the Dead Sea Scrolls were stored. Some of the Dead Sea Scrolls were damaged. Some of them were lost entirely, but most of them were realized to be important by the Bedouins that found them, and they were sold and then resold and then resold. Currently, where are they? They're in several places. Many are in the Shrine of the Book, which is a beautiful museum made just for their storage in Jerusalem. Others are in McGill University. Some of them are found in Manchester University. Some in Heidelberg University. Others have been acquired by McCormick Theological Seminary, and many more have been acquired and are housed in the Vatican Library by the Catholic Church. What is the age of the scrolls? Well, that varies. The oldest are dated to about 200 BC. There is one fragment that, according to some scholars, seems to date to about 64, 66 AD. That would be just a few years before Jerusalem was destroyed. There then comes the question of what is on the scrolls? Why were they made and for what purpose? Well, they were copied and made by a group of Jews that lived near the Dead Sea. They lived on the northwest shore of the Dead Sea, about 7 miles from Jericho and about a mile from the water's edge. The Dead Sea Scrolls have amazing things in them pertaining to the Bible and religion, but there are other books in them too. Only about a quarter of the books are biblical books. About three-fourths are other things. Some of them are religious writings, but they're not found in the Bible. A lot of them are secular. They have some fascinating information in them, and there are many, many duplicates. There were several different scrolls that had Isaiah written on them. The only book in the Bible The only book in the Old Testament that has not been clearly found is the book of Esther. There have been no New Testament documents found, definitively anyway, amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls. Why? Well, if Jerusalem was sacked in 68 AD, and the Christian faith was only just being big enough so that the first of its documents were being circulated by that time, they would not have made their way into the Jewish community by the sides of the Dead Sea. So they just wouldn't have been there. There is one scholar, Jose O'Callaghan, who thinks that the Dead Sea Scrolls have a fragment of the Book of Mark in them, one of the earliest of the New Testament documents. There is some doubt about that. Anyway, fascinating subject, the Dead Sea Scrolls and exactly what they have to do with the Latter-day Saint faith, the Catholic faith, other Christian faiths, and with the Jewish faith. Talk more about that specific series of questions when we come back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Today's broadcast is occasioned by an email that I received asking questions about the Dead Sea Scrolls and their significance, whether they prove or disprove the LDS faith, the Catholic faith, other Christian faiths, or the Jewish faith. And the answer is they don't prove or disprove any of them, but they support, in many ways, all of them. Let's start off, first of all, with who wrote them and why. It's generally believed that the group next to the Dead Sea that wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls were Jews, that's very obvious, that had separated themselves from the main group of Judaism found in Jerusalem. That's also obvious from where they were located. They weren't in Jerusalem. And from the things that they say, we also know that they weren't particularly enamored with some of the things that were going on within the Jewish faith at the time. They were what we would call apocalyptic Jews. That means they believe they were in the last days. Now, before you say, oh, they must be wrong, we're still around today, and that's 2,000 years later, you should pause and say, the last days before what? The answer is that they believe they were living in the last days before the coming of the Messiah. Now, if you happen to be Jewish, you think they were definitely wrong. If you happen to be Christian, you happen to think they were right on the mark. Because if they had their community from 200 BC until about 68 or so AD, then they did live in the last days until Jesus came, the Messiah came. They may not have known that he was the Messiah at the time, but they were right that he was going to come and did come during the time that they believed. The other fascinating part is that there is a scroll that has been translated that is called the Pierced Messiah text. And in it, it talks about a Messiah who will be pierced and who will make the dead to rise, the lame to walk, the blind to see, seemingly describing Jesus and his miracles and also his death and resurrection in quite accurate detail. One of the other things that is fascinating for Latter-day Saints is that, according to several scholars, the correct name for those that the Dead Sea community would be Latter-day Saints, because they believe that they were the saints or pious ones who lived in the latter days before the coming of the Messiah. That name has not been used to translate the Dead Sea Scrolls community because it's already a name used by the Latter-day Saints, and scholars don't want that confusion. But that is what the Dead Sea Scrolls community called themselves, Latter-day Saints. What else do the scrolls have to do with the LDS faith? There is a huge parallel between the story that Joseph Smith had about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and about the coming forth of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1947. Joseph Smith could not have known anything about them. He claimed that the Book of Mormon was a book that had been hidden in the ground anciently by those who had hidden it in the ground to come forth hundreds or thousands of years later. I say hundreds because the last of them were written about 400 AD, and I say thousands because the first of them, the Jaredite record, were written very, very early on, perhaps as early as 2500 BC. The next comment is that that is precisely the kind of thing that the Dead Sea Scrolls obviously had going for themselves. What do I mean by that? The Dead Sea Scrolls were hidden away by pious Jews to in the ground, a separate way from the way Joseph Smith described his. His were written on metal plates and found and placed in a stone box. The Dead Sea Scrolls were written generally on scrolls, but some were written on metal as well, the Copper Scroll, for example. And they were hidden away in earthen jars, pottery jars, to be found at a later date by different people. That happened in both cases. Huge parallel, strong parallel. Both believed that God had inspired them to do that very thing. What else do the Dead Sea Scrolls have to say about Christianity? Well, it's really quite fascinating that the whole idea of a group being brought away from the main group that they thought had become corrupt to start afresh with the beliefs that had been given them by God is a tradition that the Jews originally had when they came out of Egypt to start their religion and their society new and fresh. It is also a concept that Christians had when they followed Christ and broke away from the Jewish faith at the time, believing that they were restoring and refining and perfecting the true values and beliefs of the Christian faith that had been lost. The strong parallel again comes up when you consider that that is what Latter-day Saints believe. They believe that through Joseph Smith, lost truths have been restored. That is the whole point of the LDS faith. That is the whole point of the writings of the Dead Sea Scrolls community. That is the whole point of the Christian faith as taught by Jesus and the apostles. So there are tremendous parallels there. And finally, what do the Dead Sea Scrolls consist of and why are they important? This is an ongoing thing. If you're interested in actually reading the Dead Sea Scrolls, there are many fine translations that are out there. Theodore Gaster's translation has been around for a long time, and it has some great things in it. You can find wonderful commentaries on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Professors Eisenman and Wise have a book out on the pierced Messiah text that I mentioned earlier. There are a number of great commentators in book form and in other forms that have written a lot of wonderful things about the Dead Sea Scrolls. How do they enhance the Christian faith and the Jewish faith? There are books in the Bible that are in manuscript form 500 years or so earlier than the earliest forms we had before finding the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they confirm the accuracy in most cases of the books of the Bible. It's a wonderful find. I highly recommend more study on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Join me next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.